Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Macedonian Call around the globe coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. I am Sister Joanna Green. My husband is Brother Evangelist Clinton Green. And it is sure a joy to be with you all. And thank you all. We want to thank all the listeners. Whether you're in the United States or across the world, we thank you for taking your time and listening to this broadcast. And we truly love the Lord, and we preach the Bible, and the King James Bible is the only Bible that we read out of, or the only one we study out of. To us, it's the only Word of God. So we love the Lord and appreciate Him, and we want to start this broadcast tonight. There has been an urgent prayer request, Sister DeLawrence Benton. She is wanting us to pray for a friend. Just had been rushed to the hospital, has had a stroke. She didn't give me the name, but God knows exactly who that person is. So we want to start this broadcast with prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask, dear Lord Jesus, that you reach that person, God. Lord Jesus, reverse that stroke, dear God, any damage that the devil meant for harm. Lord God, that you can turn it around if that person is needing saved, dear God. We ask that you save them, Lord. If they're already saved, use them, dear God, for your glory, Lord, and maybe touch the nurses or touch God the doctors or people Lord around Jesus, them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let your word go forth, dear Lord, and not return void, dear God. Lord, we know you answer prayers. Lord, you're an on-time God, and you're right there, Lord, right when we need you, Lord. We thank you, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch the people across this world, Lord, that need courage, dear Lord, that need salvation, need healing in their body, and need to hear the Word of God, and the songs that are sung, Lord, anointed. Lord, the preachers that come on tonight on this broadcast, Lord, we ask that you, Lord God, just anoint and open up hearts and minds and souls, dear God, and draw people by your Spirit, dear Lord. Thank you for all the doors, dear God, that you've opened for me and Brother Green. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great day, Lord, that you have made. Praise God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. And at this time, if you want to be part of this broadcast and you have a prayer, either a prayer request or that you want to turn in, or you have a praise report that you want to share, or if you want to help us preach. We believe in the first of repent, for to be born again, and the Lord work on you for sanctification. And we also believe in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you'd like to, if that's you and you're called to preach, we welcome you. We invite you to call in at 347-989-8862, 347-989-8862. And we sure hope you enjoy this. We sure do. And we it's just a joy. Praise God. The Lord said that he that winneth souls are wise, is wise. So we're trying to win souls for the kingdom of God tonight. And he said that once we received the Holy Ghost, that we'd have power to be a witness. And that's what we're trying to do tonight, be a witness for Jesus. And you know, we've not ever seen him. We've never looked upon his face. The only time we've ever looked upon him is when we look in the Word, that it is written Word in the King James Bible. And that's when we see Jesus, praise God. And you know, he told doubting Thomas, he said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are them that have not seen, but yet they believe. Praise God. So if you'd like to call in, we are ministering tonight on obedience. And the number again is 347-989-8862, 347-989-8862. And our email address is heisrisen38@aol.com if you want to reach us that way. Again, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. So definitely send us an email if you want to give a testimony or a praise report or however. If you've got something on your heart you just want to talk to us about, if you've got a prayer request, you are more than welcome to use that email address. And definitely, like I said, call in this number. It is only... the line only works while we are on live. We are here every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We go for 2 hours till 12 midnight. And again, that number is 347-989-8862. Praise God. And right now I'm going to turn in some more prayer requests. So as we go through the broadcast, we will continue as they come in to announce those. And we'll pray over these all at the end of the service. And I want you to continue to pray for a cousin of mine. He's probably a third cousin. He's 2 years old. Praise report. The doctor has said that the we've been turning in requests for him throughout the weeks. And the praise report last week was with his, he has a brain tumor. And again, like he's 2 years old, like I said. And it has shrunk. And we want to thank God for that. And blood count, they said, has come back fine. And that's wonderful news. So continue pray for the Bragg family, the Warrick family, and just remember all them. And remember Latricia Proctor. She says, please keep my husband and I and our finances in your prayers. Thank you. So they are our nieces and nephews. Latricia has married our nephew, Charlie. So keep them in much prayer, and God knows all about it. And we thank the Lord for them having confidence in us that they would even ask us to pray. So, and John and Janine Ward says, remember Faith Ward for her total healing. And God knows all about that. And we believe some of these, one of these days that God is going to totally heal Faith. He could give her that miracle tonight. And also pray for their traveling mercies. They are on their way, I believe, to Jamaica to do missionary work for God. So we want to pray for their traveling mercies. Praise God. And Sister Bonnie Burke says, still remember her family. Her husband, this is a great praise report, her husband Don, his stress test came back good. The doctor thought would find some blockages, but we know prayer changes things, is what she said. So we prayed about that last week and maybe a couple weeks ago also, and that come out fine. So praise the Lord. She also has a heavy burden on her heart, the trial. She doesn't understand sometimes, you know, we go through things, and a lot of times, you know, like God told Daniel, I heard you the first time you prayed, but he prayed 21 days, three times a day, and but the devil hindered. So we want to stand still and see the salvation of God, and we're going to believe and stand in the gap for Sister Bonnie Burke. Also, praise the Lord. I told you about Dolores Benton. She has that friend that has went tonight to the hospital that has had a stroke, and we want to continue. We've prayed, and we want to continue praying for all these requests, but especially that one. God can sure reverse things with a stroke. They say if you've ever had stroke symptoms, to get to the hospital immediately, and there's medications doctor can do to reverse any damage that a stroke would do. But we know the great physician, and that's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So if that person's not saved, we want to pray for their salvation as well. So God is good, and we're going to get started with the broadcast, and we are going to come in, and we want to have another song right now. And we will get started here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. We want to encourage you again to call 347-989-8862. Praise God.
As I kneel in the dark, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for a short, Lord, I see another valley. It's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'm looking out in defeat. But he said, I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and gave me peace.
God. Again, this is Macedonian Call around the globe. If you want to be a part of this broadcast tonight, it is 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And our message tonight, we feel like preaching on obedience. So to be obedient to God, hallelujah. At this moment, we're going to have Rachel come, and this is our daughter. She is 10 years old today. Today is October the 18th of 2013, and we are very proud of her. And we've had a blessed day in the Lord and a really good, blessed time on her birthday. And we want to praise God for that and thank God for good health for our family and for our friends and loving the Lord just so good. Here's Rachel.
And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams."
Praise God. Amen. So it's better to obey the Lord than sacrifice. Praise God. And that's what we're talking about tonight is obedience. And that's what we want to do is we want to be obedient to the Lord. And sometimes we'll get, you know, walking this walk with the Lord and we think we're doing everything just so and not sinning and doing those things. But if we don't obey Him, we can still be in some trouble. So, and there's a Lord salvation out there that a lot of people think they're doing just right and doing, but it's a, nowadays we've noticed that it's been a me salvation, a me type of theology, what pleases me, but it ain't like that. It's what pleases God and if you're in His will, and there's a permissive will and there's a perfect will of God. And it's better to be obedient. Praise God. So how do we be obedient? We look into His Word, and we see what He wants us to do. And we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. Right now I'm going to have Evangelist Clint Green. He's going to come, and he's going to say some things, and then I might jump in there a little bit later. When he's finished, we'll have some more songs. And right now we need some callers. And normally we have a panel on here, panelists that come in and preach with us, but we encourage you to call in 347-989-8862. And here's Evangelist Clint Green.
Praise God. It's good to be with you tonight. I'm glad that, you know, the Lord is watching over us and He's protecting us tonight. He's keeping us. The Bible said that He watches over us. He watches over the sparrow. And the Bible says not one of them fall to the ground that he does not see. He sees each one that falls to the ground. Praise God. And He takes care of the sparrow. He takes care of the animals in the field and everything that moves upon the face of the earth. God provides for them and He provides for His people, praise God. And I'm glad tonight that we can be obedient to God, that we can either obey God, and like Rachel said, it's better to obey God. You know, I was thinking about that. I didn't actually read that scripture, but I've read it before in the past. And, you know, Samuel had anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. And, you know, Saul was turned. The Bible said one place there when he came to Samuel that Samuel prophesied to him and told him that he was going to be the leader of Israel. And he prophesied to him, and when Saul turned to leave, the Bible said that he was turned into another man. And one place there it said that he had another heart, praise God. And Samuel told him, said, "You're going to prophesy with the prophets." And he told him he was going to run into some people and what was going to happen. And, you know, it happened just the way that Samuel said, praise God. And Samuel was the He was the priest, praise God, the judge, praise God, of Israel. But they wanted a king, praise God. And so, you know, Israel was out of the will of God that they wanted that king. But God let him have the king, praise God, because that's what they wanted. And God gave them the desire of their heart. But it says over, I believe, in the book of Psalms that he sent leanness into their soul. You know, sometimes we pray, and we pray amiss, and sometimes we keep praying and praying, and finally God just says, okay, I'll let you have it. But it's not the perfect will of God, and it'll get us in trouble, praise God, because God wants us to walk in his perfect will. And it's sad to say today, but there's probably not a whole lot of people that's walking in the perfect will of God. And you know, when we get saved, we're saved by grace through faith, and we get into the kingdom of God through the door of mercy and through the name of Jesus Christ, and we get in through faith in him. And once we're a child of God, after we've gotten through the door, we've come into the house of God, and we're of the household of faith, and we're a member in the body of Christ, and then God begins to teach us, and he begins to teach us with prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers and pastors. And we need to sit under those men of God, and we need to listen to what they have to say. And we get into our Bible, and we begin to read, and we begin to find out what the prophets said, and we begin to read and find out what the apostles said there, praise God. And we begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And we begin to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin to put away the things that hinders our walk with God. And we begin to be sanctified because we start separating ourselves from the world. The Bible said to love not the world. And I'm talking about obedience tonight, and I'm talking about obedience to the Word of God. And, you know, we can say, Lord, Lord, and have a Lord, Lord salvation, but it'll take more than that to get us to heaven. Once that we've come to the Lord, that's the way we come to Christ, is we call upon his name, and we humble ourselves and pray, and we turn from our wicked ways, and we seek his face, and we lay aside all the sin. The Bible said to lay aside the sin, all the sin and the weights that easily beset you, and run with patience the race set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So we start on that starting line, just like when they run a race, they get down in the blocks and they take off. And, you know, when the gun goes off, well, they take off on the race. And, you know, when you first get saved, you take off on this race, praise God. But I tell you, only those that finish, make it to the finishing line are going to have eternal life. Even though we're saved today, that don't mean we'll be saved next week. We have to continue to abide in him. And if we abide in him and his words abide in us, he said there in John 15:7, he said, what did he say? You shall ask what you will, I believe he said, and shall be done unto you. In John 15:7, praise God. But I want you to know that we must abide in the vine, praise God. We can't do everything we just want to do. If it's something that's sinful, we have to cut it off. You know, we got to kind of prune ourselves and make sure we're being obedient to God, that we're doing what he'd have us to do. Praise God. I want to read a few scriptures to you. I want to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and read a few verses of scripture here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. Wherefore, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise God. So the Bible's telling us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus, you know, he came down here, he put on flesh. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John chapter 1 and on down there, on down into chapter 1 there, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Christ came down here. He was already in heaven. He didn't just come into existence when he was born there in the stable, there in the manger, where they laid him in a manger there. In Luke chapter 1 or 2, somewhere around in there, she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. But he was already in heaven, praise God. He told them one day, I believe it's John chapter 8, somewhere in there, he said, you're of your father the devil. He was talking about Abraham's seed. And you know what? They said, no, we're Abraham's seed. We're not born of fornication. You see, they thought he was born of fornication. They thought because she was with a child, somehow they found this out, that she was with a child, you know, before Joseph and her was married. So, and Joseph not willing to put her away, you know, he didn't want to put her away, but he kept her, praise God. And he didn't, I don't know at what point they were married, but when the taxation came, they went to their town of Bethlehem there to be taxed, and you know, there was no room for them in the inn, praise God. They obeyed the voice of the angels that spoke to them. And the angel spoke to Joseph and said, fear not to take unto you Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, Joseph wanted to obey God, and so did Mary, praise God. And anyhow, I'm getting off my subject here, but what I was saying is we must be obedient. We must be obedient to God. You know, I think of people in the Bible that was obedient to God. And, you know, Abraham was one of those people. And he went out. The Bible says he went out not knowing where he was going. But he left his own country because God had told him to leave that country, praise God, of the Chaldeans. And he came out of there, and he didn't know where he was going exactly. But he went out. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it tells us he went out not knowing where he was going. And he sojourned in a strange country with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And so he was obedient to God. And, you know, because of his obedience, God brought out the children of Israel. They came out of Abraham's loins, And God had spoke to Abraham and told him, said he was going to bless all nations through his seed. And we go on back into the Bible, we find out that the seed that was going to was not seeds of many, but of one, and that seed was Christ. He came through Abraham, and it was a long, drawn-out thing until Christ came. But when he came and died on that cross, and he bore our sins in his own body. He was the Lamb of God. He was obedient unto death, and that's what I was reading here in Philippians chapter 2. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. You know, he went about healing people, and he told them he was the Son of God, and they didn't believe him, and they was trying to kill him. And he said, Abraham, he said, if you were the seed of Abraham, you would not be trying to kill me. He said, Abraham didn't do these things. He said, ye are of your father the devil. I tell you tonight, if we're not born again and we got hatred in our heart, then we're of our father the devil. You know, I was thinking today, we must be obedient, because when we sin, that means we're making the devil our father. Every time we sin, he's the one wanting us to sin, and he's trying to get us to sin. Praise God. But I tell you, we need to resist the devil, and the Bible says that he will flee from us if we'll resist him. Draw nigh to God, first of all. You have to draw nigh to God and then resist the devil. You can't resist the devil in your own power and get too far. I was thinking about there in the book of Acts when those men tried to cast the devil out of this person. And I forget what chapter that was, but they seven sons of Sceva, I believe it was, tried to cast out a devil. And they said, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. But I tell you, Paul knew something about Jesus. Paul was connected to him, and Paul was his servant, and he was obedient to the Lord, and he had power with God. And that's how the disciples went about and healed people before the Holy Ghost came. In Luke chapter 10, they came back and they said, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So that's how they cast them devils out. It was faith in the name of Jesus, and he had sent them. And they had power over unclean spirits to cast them out. They were obedient to him. Praise God. We know what happened later when the one became disobedient, and he fell from grace, and, you know, he missed out on salvation. Praise God. But it says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. So we must think like Christ thinks. We must allow ourselves to think like he thinks. And here's the way he thought. He was in the form of God. He was in the spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth. So for us to worship God, truly worship God, we must have the spirit of God to be able to worship God. For we must worship him in the spirit and in the truth. So we must not only worship him, we must, you know, there's a lot of people worshiping God, or they think they are, and I'm not trying to be mean, but they're trying to serve God, but they don't have the plan of God. But Jesus said to worship him in the spirit and truth, and he said, my word is truth. So we must find the truth. We must get us a Bible, King James Version, Bible. You may be in another country, But if you get you a Bible based off of the King James Version Bible, you know, you may be speaking a different language. But it must be off of the right thing to start with for it to be the Word of God. So you get you the Word of God. You find somebody that's got a Bible, and you begin to talk to them or pray with them or have them pray for you, and you can have eternal life. You can have everlasting life and be saved by grace through faith. Christ died not only for our sins, the Bible says, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, that'd be a shame for you to be lost if Christ died for your sins, which he did. So wouldn't it be a shame to turn down eternal life? Wouldn't it be a shame to miss heaven and the door is wide open? And Jesus is standing in that door and he's got his arms outstretched and he's saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Praise God. So we must get this mind of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm in verse 6. Who being in the form of God, that's where I'm at. You see, he was in the Spirit, but he came down here, and he put on flesh. And he put on flesh so that he could be the supreme sacrifice for all men. He was the last sacrifice that you'll ever have to go out and get, buy, or run down, or catch, or whatever. You know, they had to go catch the lamb, or the turtle dove, or whatever it was that they had to sacrifice. And when Jesus came there on the banks of the Jordan River, John looked and saw him, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." See, he was the last sacrifice that would ever be given to take away sin. Now, if you go and get you a sacrifice now, and you go to offering it, well, you're rejecting the blood of Jesus is what you're doing. You're saying the blood of bulls and goats and whatever it is you sacrifice is greater than the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'll tell you, you'll be in trouble on the judgment day because Cain and Abel brought forth their sacrifice. And you know, Abel brought forth probably a Lamb of God is what he brought forth there in the book of Genesis. And Cain brought forth the fruit of the land. He brought forth vegetables and stuff. And they offered them before God. And you know, God had respect to Abel's offering. And the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. So, over there in the book of Leviticus, I believe it is, and maybe Deuteronomy. But without the shedding of blood is no remission. So it had to take the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins. The blood that was shed in the Old Testament, those sacrifices that were made were a type and a shadow of that which was to come. And he has already come, and he died on that cross on Calvary's Hill just outside of Jerusalem. They laid him in that barred tomb, but the third day he rose again, praise God. Now let's see here. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." All right. And so we know we must worship in spirit and truth. So we must worship where the Word of God is. Praise God. Because that's where the Spirit of God is. It's where his Word is. Praise God. It says here in verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Praise God. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Praise God. And I read the rest of that, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name above, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the Father has made Jesus Lord and Christ. He is both Lord and Christ. He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah that the woman at the well in John chapter 4 was talking about, said Messiah will come, and he'll show us what we have to do. And we're talking about obedience tonight. We're talking about obeying God. We're talking about doing the right thing, praise God. And I want to go on in Hebrews. Let me go to 16th verse. It says here, and before I go to Hebrews, I'll back up to the 14th verse. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That means complaining about everything. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So the Apostle Paul had written this, and he was running a race just like we are tonight. And he wanted them people to make it. And he was giving them instruction on how to live. He was telling them not to be complaining about every little thing. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Praise God. He had said in the 13th verse, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now when you do something, after that you're born again, and you do something that displeases God, and most of the time, I would say, maybe every time, or many times, I did something I thought, I shouldn't have done that. And you feel grieved, and that's because the Spirit of God is in you. When you was a sinner, you didn't feel grieved. Well, you just laughed and went on, and, you know, I'll go back and do it again, whatever it was, a lot of times, you know. And but once you get saved and you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, Spirit of Christ in you, then things begin to bother you when you do something wrong. It will bother you. And you need to pray, and you need to ask the Lord to forgive you, and you need to ask him to cleanse you and to help you that you won't do it again. Now I want to turn on to Hebrews, and I want to turn to chapter 1. We're talking about Jesus becoming obedient, even obedient unto the death of the cross here. In Hebrews 1 and 1 through 8, I'll read that. It says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. Now this is God talking, it says here. Or he's talking about God. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So God said, I shall be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And he's asking questions. Which of the angels did he say this to? Well, he didn't say it to any of the angels. He said it unto his son. Praise God. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So he's telling us about the angels. You know there's angels in the book of Revelation that give messages to the churches. Praise God. I'm in verse 7, and I'm going over here. It says, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, so he's making a difference here. He's saying, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. Now I want you to notice here, if you have your Bible, in verse 8, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. Now this is a capital G. This is not a little g. This is God calling Jesus God. Thy throne, O God. He's saying this to the Son. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And the Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Praise God. Now we're talking about being obedient. Jesus was obedient as a son. Came down here and did everything that the Father wanted him to do. And when he died on the cross, God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named in this world and in the world to come. Praise God. So, let's see here. In verse 13, it says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the angels are sent forth to minister. But Christ, he died for our sins. Angels can't die for your sins, and angels can't save you. And, you know, one-third of the angels were disobedient, and they followed Lucifer. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought. And they were cast out of heaven. Disobedience didn't start here on earth. It started in heaven. It started before... I believe it started before Adam was ever placed in the garden. And the devil was cast out. Bible today, in the book of Ephesians, calls him the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you see, we can be disobedient, or we can be obedient to God. I want to turn over, unless Joanna wants to say something at this time. I'll go ahead. I'll go a little longer here. I don't know if anybody's called in tonight. Doesn't look like it. Okay, so, all right. I think I brought out what I needed to there. I want to turn, being that I'm in Hebrews, I'm going to turn to chapter 3. And in chapter 3 of Hebrews, praise God. It says here, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Praise God. So we're just talking about Jesus still yet here, and we're talking also about Moses. Moses was faithful in all of his house. And it says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Praise God. So Moses was also faithful. You know, God told Moses, said, go down, Moses, tell Pharaoh, said, let my people go. And Moses came to the burning bush on the hillside, on the mountainside, and he saw the fire burning. And he heard the voice of God out of that bush and said, take off your shoes, Moses. Take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of things people need to take off in their life. Sometimes it's a habit that they're doing. It's something that's separating them from God. And it's disobedience to God, you know. And the Bible tells us that we should be under obedience, praise God. And we, if we're disobedient, then we're sinning. Then we're transgressing and we're breaking the law of God. You know, Adam transgressed. He went across the line. He broke the law of God there in the garden. And, you know, it cost him something when he done that. And, you know, I don't know who you are, but it'll cost you if you're breaking the law of God. If you're stepping across the line and you're getting out of the ark of safety, praise God. You know, there's an umbrella of safety in the house of God because we're born again and we're in God's house. But, you know, if we step across the line, you know, if there's a car coming down the highway and you step out in the road, well, you know, you could get hit, run over, killed, or broken up, or bruised. And you could get put in the hospital, laid up for a while. And we don't want to step across the line, you know. Praise God. You know, God draws all the lines, and we've got to make sure we stay within those lines. You know, if we're driving a car, we don't want to get across that center line because, you know, if we get across that center line, we might hit somebody else head on. And if we get over the other way too far, we might end up in the ditch. And if we follow people that don't read and study the Word of God and they don't preach out of the Word of God and they don't preach the Bible and they just tell stories and they just make up tales and make up jokes, I'll tell you, we're being disobedient to God because he told us to preach the Word. Paul told Timothy, said, preach the Word, Timothy. He said, there's coming a time when men shall not endure sound doctrine, but they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to be turned unto fables. Praise God. They're not going to believe the truth, but they're going to believe something contrary to the Word and something contrary to the will of God. But I tell you, we better get back in the middle of the road, back where we need to be. We better get out of the ditch, and we better get on solid ground because, you know, if you get on in the ditch, you got off of solid ground most of the time. Most of the time, you'll get in the mud. You'll get stuck, and you'll get bogged down, and you'll get in trouble, but you'll have to have somebody come along and pull you out most of the time. Praise God. I don't want to get in that kind of a shape, but I want to live right and walk right, and I want to make it in, praise God. And I'm going to let Joanna have it for a little bit, and maybe we'll get back to some of this other stuff I've got here later.
Praise God. It's good to be with you, and if you'd like to be part of this broadcast, call in at 347-989-8862. 347-989-8862. Again, we're talking about obedience. And if you'd like to call in and if you want to give a testimony or a prayer request or if you're a preacher, we believe that if you're preaching that you ought to be saved and sanctified and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we sure do welcome you to come in right here and preach with us. Praise God. This time we're going to come to you with another song, and praise God. God is sure good tonight. I love him, and if you've gone just a second or just a minute of serving the Lord, you've gone too far to turn back now, so you just might as well keep on keeping on, like Brother Sam Marlowe used to say, keep on keeping on. Praise God.
Old song says if you're talking about that old time religion, then I know what you're talking about. Hallelujah.
Praise God, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being obedient to the Lord, and how many know that that old-time religion, praise God, it was good for Paul and Silas, it was good for Mom and Dad, and it was good for Grandma and Grandpa, and it was good for Jesus. He's the one that brought it about, and he said that he came to fulfill the law, not to do away with the law. And as my husband was preaching there, talking about in the Garden of Eden, and I was just had a thought, you know, it didn't matter what kind of fruit that was on that tree that they partook of, it was the fact that they disobeyed the Lord. So we're talking about obedience tonight, and obedience is better than sacrifice. Praise God. And we love the Lord, and we thank Him, and we thank Him for this broadcast, And I want to share something with you here in Matthew 25, verse 14. And I'm going to read on here some. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he had received the 5 talents, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that had received the 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee and that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gathered where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I was thinking here how in verse 31 it says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his host angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. So we've got a work to do. Once we get saved, we must not hide this under a bushel. We must shine the light. The word says that we are the light of the world. Jesus, he was the light of the world. He still is the light of the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the Bible talks about how the darkness comprehended not the light. But we must still, though that they may shut the door in our face if we go door to door and try to get people to come in and to come to church or try to pray. And, you know, if 1,000 doors close in our face, if just one comes, like we said earlier, he that winneth souls are wise. Praise God. I want to be the one, the wise. I want when the Lord comes back and when he sees that we've not hid this talents that he had given us, talking about his word and the gifts and sharing with everyone else and not keeping it just to ourselves, but, you know, we love other people and we want them to also have a part of this inheritance that we're going to get one day in glory. And I just love the Lord. I praise him and I just want to be obedient to him. And I was thinking about how further down in the same chapter how the Lord had told him to, he said, And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of these least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So he told him to feed the visit the poor, visit them in prison, visit the widows and the children, the orphans, and without father and stuff like that. And they said, When have we done this unto thee, Lord? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing all this, and he said, When you've done it to the least, you've done this unto me. So when you feel led to give to the poor and you've got more than you need and you know, and it's a stranger, that's the one that you know that they're not going to pay you back. It's easy to give to your children. It's easy to give to your the one right next door to you, your neighbor, because you know someday they may return the favor. But if you bless a complete stranger and you know that you may never ever see them again and you don't expect anything in return, God said to be a cheerful giver, and so not to expect anything back. And God sees that, and he's looking for hundredfold Christians out there. So if you are backslid and you don't know the Lord, and if you've never met him, and or if you once knew him and you've strayed away, got cold on the Lord, I encourage you to pray tonight. Why don't you give your heart back to God? It's real simple. It's as simple as talking to a loved one or talking to a friend, and begin to call on Jesus. Get alone with him. Find yourself a hiding place, a secret place to go and pray. The Bible talks about entering into your closet and to pray, and he says he would reward you openly what you do in secret to the Lord. And if you fast in secret, it says not to let your right hand know what your left hand does, or I may have it backwards, but still, don't go out and boast that you did this and you did that, because that is your reward. If you tell other people what you've done for God, then that's your reward. But if you do this in secret and only the Lord and you knows about it, he was going to reward you openly. So I praise God, and you know, let's be obedient. Abraham was taking up Isaac to offering up as a sacrifice because the Lord had told him to do this. And the lad said, he says, well, what are we going to use as a sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. And the Lord he did just that. He provided. And you know, Isaac wasn't the Christ, as he did not need to be sacrificed. But Abraham knew that God's promise said that many as the sand of the sea, with the promises to his seed. So God knew, or Abraham knew, that God was going to, if he did have to slay Isaac, that God would raise him up, and that the promise was going to be to him, his children, so God is good, and he provided a ram in the thicket. So Abraham was obedient unto God, and we must be obedient to him, because we have that inheritance, that if we, Acts 2, if we, this is that the prophet Joel talked about, when they received the tongues, the speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. And so this is that the prophet Joel spoke about. Said he would, in the last days, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. And praise the Lord. And God is good. We must be obedient. And we must try to gather in this in-gathering. We must, like Ruth when she gleaned in the field and gathered the sheaves. And we must try to be out there and be soul winners. Praise the Lord. And we've got another request here for prayer. Brother Carl Nickel, he says, praise God, we're refreshing our screen here. Pray for Sister Rhonda Rudd. She had to go to the hospital soon over her heart. So remember her. She's a dear friend of ours, and remember her. Praise the Lord. I wondered why she wasn't commenting tonight, but that's what it is. She's in need of prayer, so she's in the hospital. So we thank you all for listening, and right now we're just going to try to come to you with another song, and We still are the only callers tonight. Normally we have more callers, but you know, we're not discouraged. We are encouraged in Jesus. And listen to this here song, and I hope it blesses you.
came to tell you this morning that if you got a big old mountain, a mountain that you can't climb, Lordy, you got a wide, wide river. You're having a little bit of trouble tippy-toeing across. My Lord, if you got a valley, oh, that you just can't seem to save, why don't you let
Virginia in a meeting. It was 1960. And the Happy Goodmans were to be in the city in the Coliseum there that afternoon. And we were a little bit late getting there. But coming through those walls and out that door as we neared that Coliseum, I could hear them singing that song. They wrote it, incidentally. Give up and let Jesus take over. And I won't forget it because I could sense the presence of God as it became all over me, and I began to weep. He's still telling us today, give up. Meaning, quit trying to do it yourself and let Jesus take over. Sing that second verse, please.
Some of you out there, you got a burden. You got a burden. Oh, that you can't bear. Some of you people out there, you're carrying a load. It's a load you just can't, you just can't bear. If you just kneel down, kneel down and talk to Jesus.
The church said amen, and the church said hallelujah, and the church said praise the Lord. Well, give up
and let Jesus.
Let
Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, give up and let Jesus take over, and he'll work it all out. We've got another prayer request here. Sister Pam Blevin says, pray for her brother, Riley, Glenn's aunt, Joni, her mom, and her. She said, and that she has bronchitis and neuropathy in her legs. So keep Sister Pam Blevins and her family there that she mentioned. Keep them in prayer and pray for her, for her bronchitis. And, you know, the Lord is good. He answers prayers. He's always on time. Praise the Lord. And at this time, we're going to have Evangelist Clint Green come back in. And, again, we're talking about obedience. And if you'd like to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. We're on every Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're on for 2 hours till 12 midnight, and we just want to be obedient, and that's what the message is about tonight, is obedience. And I admire Brother John and Sister Janine Ward. They're on their way to Jamaica to do a work for God. So again, keep them in prayer and all that we had mentioned tonight. Also pray for Sister Florence Centers. She has cancer, and she turned 87 today, and we want to give a big shout out to her for a happy birthday, and that God will take her many more years to be here with us. And as long as he'll keep her here, we sure appreciate her. She's a good woman, a good prayer warrior. So praise the Lord. And here's Evangelist Clint Green.
Praise God. I have some more scripture here tonight. I was thinking some would call in, but we haven't heard from any of them. I don't know if there's a problem. But I'm so glad that God has saved me and brought me out of sin, and I have become obedient unto God. And I'm trying to be obedient to him and try to serve him in all that I can. And I put my hand to the plow many years ago, and I don't plan to look back. I want to keep on pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. And it's just good to be with you. And I want you to also pray for Brother Eddie Bolton. He's been down in his back. He used to come on the program quite often, and we've been missing him, and we want to get him back on here. He's a great preacher, and he's a powerful warrior for Christ. And then Brother Yearwood, and he comes on. Brother John Samples have been coming on. I don't know if there's a problem, but sometimes we have a problem, and we can't... We can't get call-ins, and I don't know what that's all about, but y'all pray about that. And I want to read to you here tonight Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Praise God. So we see here in Isaiah 1 and 19, he said, if you be willing and obedient, that's what we're talking about, obedience, you shall eat the good of the land. I want to back up to verse 16 of chapter 1. It says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before thine eyes, before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then we get to verse 19, which I've already read. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we see here in Isaiah that Isaiah was probably about 700 years before Christ, and he was trying to keep Israel from going into captivity And he was trying to warn them to turn from their ways, and their ways were not good. And they were getting away from God, and they were setting up their idols and doing things that that was contrary to God's will. And he was giving them counsel from God that if they would turn and they would begin to cleanse themselves and learn to do well and seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Praise God. So he said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. So the Lord was trying to get them to turn around, praise God, and turn from their wicked ways, praise God. I was thinking, you know, God brings judgment upon nations, and this was a nation he was talking to. This was the nation of Israel, and he was trying to turn them back to God, trying to turn them back to the ways of God and to the to sound doctrine, praise God. And praise God. But God is a good God, and he always, before he sends judgment, he'll send the preaching of the Word of God, and he'll send warning, and he'll send the prophets, and he'll send evangelists and the pastors and in the day which we're living in, and he'll put in their mouth the Word of God, and he'll have them to teach the law of God, and try to get them to turn. Praise God. Praise God. I was thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah back there in Genesis, and I forget what chapter that is. But, you know, the angels came down there to Abraham's house. The Lord came with them. Praise God. There three men came, and Abraham ate with them, and they was getting ready to go down to Sodom, and one of them turned around, and he talked to Abraham, and he said, we're going to overthrow Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise God. We're going to destroy that city. And Abraham said, he interceded. You know, that's being obedient to God, is when we intercede for lost souls, and we get down to business, and we begin to pray and seek the Lord, and we begin to pray for people that are in trouble and people in bondage, people that are sick and afflicted, and we begin to pray and seek God for them that they might be saved or they might be healed. And God hears our prayer, praise God, if we'll get in line with God. But if we don't line up with God, God won't hear our prayer. And, you know, this was the shape that Israel was in at this time when Isaiah was trying to talk to them, trying to tell them, and went to them with the Word of God. And God was saying, let us reason together. I want to talk to you about something, and I want to tell you, if you don't turn around, you're going to be lost. If you don't turn back to God, you're going to fail. You're going to fall, and you're going to get in a mess. And that's the way it is with our personal life tonight. If we don't live right, we're going to get in trouble. If we don't live for God, we're going to get in big trouble someday. But, you know, we may go through trials and tribulations and things, not because we're living in sin, but because the devil is a-fighting sometimes our case, you know. And I think that is with many righteous people today, that the devil's got them as a target, and he's trying to tear them down. And I'll tell you, the way out is prayer. The way out is down on our knees and fasting and seeking God and turning to him with all of our heart. Praise God. Praise God. And I want you to know that Abraham, he interceded. He said, well, will you destroy it for 50? If there's 50 righteous, he said, will you destroy it? And he said, no. God said, no. He said, no. He said, I won't destroy it if there's 50. And he said, well, what if there's 40? And he said, I won't destroy it for 40's sake. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Over here in 18, Genesis 18 and 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Praise God. You know God's going to do right. Praise God. He came down there and he talked to Abraham. And Abraham was the friend of God. And Abraham believed God. And it got God's attention. Praise God. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Praise God. So he got on down to 10. Praise God. And the Lord said, Abraham said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak it but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham, Abraham returned unto his place. Praise God. And the Bible said the two angels came to Sodom there in chapter 19 at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. You see, the disobedience of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them had got the attention of the God of heaven, praise God, the God of all the earth. And he had looked down and he had heard and he had got report on the things. You know, I believe the angels go backwards and forth into heaven and they go to and fro and they see. Not only does the angels go to and fro, but the devil's going to and fro, and he's trying to destroy who that he can. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I'll tell you, Jacob laid down one day and laid his head on a rock, and you know, he saw a ladder going into heaven, and he saw angels ascending or descending and ascending upon that ladder, and he said, this is none other but the gate of heaven and the house of God. And he set up a stone there that next morning, and he said, this is a dreadful place. In other words, this is an awesome place is what this is. And he set up that stone and poured oil upon it, and he said, if the Lord will be with me where I go, and if he'll prosper me, he said, I'll give a 10% when I come back, and if the Lord will keep me where I'm going and prosper me. And you know, he didn't have nothing. He went out of that place where he was at and went down to that other country there. And he was running from his brother because he had been disobedient to God, because he had been lying. And he deceived his father, and praise God. And his mother said to flee, and he took off, praise God. And he stayed in that country, that far country, for 21 years or something like that, because he told a lie. Sometimes a lie will separate you from your family or it'll separate you from God. The Bible said all liars shall have their part that in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone. So one day we better have things right with God, because one day God's going to call your number and my number, praise God. And I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear him say, enter in to the joy of the Lord, praise God. And when it's all over, I want it, my name to be found there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to know that everything's okay with me and the Lord, praise God. Abraham stood before the Lord and tried to turn the wrath of God from this here city. And he wanted to do it, and he wanted to do it on the grounds that there was 10 righteous that come down to 10. And he probably thought within himself, he probably thought there surely must be 10 in that place. And he probably thought within himself, well, I know Lot lives down there in Sodom. And the Bible said, you know, that Lot had pitched his tent towards Sodom one day. And he had all them cattle and all them sheep or whatever it was he had. He had flocks and herds, and the land wasn't able to support him. Praise God. And he chose the good land, and he went towards Sodom. But you know what? It didn't turn out too good for him, because he got over there in that sinful place. And, you know, he ended up losing his wife. She turned back and turned a pillar of salt. Praise God. You know the story, no doubt, that you've read it. But it don't pay to disobey God. That angel said, don't look back. He said, don't look back. But, you know, she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. Jesus said over there in the gospel, he said, remember Lot's wife. He's telling us, don't look back. When you get out of sin, you get away from the pleasures of sin. You know, the Bible said there is a pleasure in sin for a season, but you know it ain't going to pay off, because one day you're going to have to give a payment for the sin that you've committed. And if you die in your sins, you'll die lost. The wages of sin, the Bible said, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. So they went on down there, and two angels came to Sodom at even. And Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. You know the story, how they finally came in to Lot's house. Praise God. And later, in that morning, praise God, that morning they got out of there. The angel of God led them out and said that God is going to destroy this city. Praise God. Verse 17 says here, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Praise God. So they got out of that place. In verse 22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Praise God. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Praise God. So, anyhow, God spared Lot. And the Bible tells us, I believe it's over in the book of 1 First or Second Peter, that Lot was a righteous man, and they vexed his righteous soul from day to day, seeing and hearing the things which they done. You know, he was a righteous man. That's why God spared him. And not only did God spare him for that reason, but I believe because Abraham prayed, God spared him. Praise God. There's a lot of people tonight in harm's way. There's a lot of people, if judgment come today, if the Lord came back, and if he rained fire and brimstone on this old world, oh, I think it's 1st or 2nd Peter, the Bible said that the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and everything's going to be burned up. There's coming a day that the judgment of God is going to come. And I'll tell you, if it was to come today, there'd be a lot of people that would be lost. Praise God. And Jesus said to that woman at the well, he said, the fields are white unto harvest. There's many souls out there tonight that need to be saved. There's people that's almost persuaded. You know, there in the book of Acts, I believe it is, Paul was talking to Agrippa, and Agrippa said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'll tell you, it's not good enough to be almost persuaded, because if you're just almost persuaded, you're still lost. But you've got to be fully persuaded. You've got to turn your life to God, and you've got to repent and turn your life to him, or else you will be lost. And I was thinking, you know, the son's talking a little bit about the judgment of God, because disobedience will bring judgment. It caused them angels to be cast out of heaven, the third part of the angels, because of disobedience. And he said that disobedience was as the sin of witchcraft, and praise God. And you know, stubbornness and disobedience, you know. If you've got an old mule and you try to break that mule, you know, sometimes he'll get stubborn. But if he's broke real good, he'll keep right on going. He'll keep right on working. Praise God. You got a horse, you got to break him, because they're pretty high-spirited and they're pretty strong-headed. Unless you get them broke, you can't do nothing with them. And you know, God's trying to get us trained in this warfare, because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood tonight. We're fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and we're fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're fighting against those spirits. You know, there's spirits that'll come against Christian people tonight, and you know, sometimes people will, you know, be watching things that they shouldn't be watching, maybe on the television. I don't know. Here in America, a lot of people's got televisions. And if you're watching scary movies and you're watching things like that, then you wonder why you're having trouble. You know, it could be God's trying to get your attention. God is a God of love, and he's not a God to put things on us, but he can move the hedge. But I don't believe he wants to move the hedge. John said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So I tell you, God wants you to prosper. Praise God. Let's go here now to thinking about Absalom. You know, Absalom, the Bible said, was a handsome man, and praise God, and I think it's the 18th chapter of 2 Samuel. Absalom began to try to build himself a kingdom. He tried to take the kingdom away from his father David. And he was disobedient. You know, the Bible tells us to be obedient to our parents, that our days might be long upon the earth. You know, if we become disobedient to our parents, you know, God can shorten our life, and it can cause problems to come our way. and we need to take account that we're not transgressing against our parents, against God, because when we are disobedient to our parents, we're disobedient to God. And I'm talking maybe to some young people out there tonight also, I don't know, but I'm sure there's some listening in. You see, Absalom went astray from God, and he turned on his own father, King David, and he tried to take the kingdom, praise God. And you know, the king loved Absalom, and the king told Joab, there was three he put over his army, and he said, deal with the young man gently concerning Absalom. He said, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. This is chapter 18, 2 Samuel, and verse 5. So we find out that Joab was a fighting, and he ended up killing Absalom, even though the king told him to be gentle with the young man. But he didn't do it, but he killed him. But the Bible said in verse 9, and Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. They was in battle at this time. In verse, I believe it's verse 6. Let's see here. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men, for the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And then we get to verse 9, and Absalom met the servants of David. So see, the battle was going on, and Absalom met these servants in battle. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And you go on down here, and you find out that he was still alive. And Joab, in verse 15, and 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about, and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit. You see, disobedience was what led this young man, and I don't exactly know how old he was, but he was probably still a young man. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. So we go on, you know, and the king finds out that they've killed him. And the battle, or the victory that day, was turned into mourning. And there was a sad day. Praise God for the king. And you know, it's always a sad day when people fall into sin and people die in sin, and we go to the funerals and we have to stand over that person, maybe preach their funeral, or maybe we attend the funeral, we walk by the casket, and they left no testimony that they were saved, and the family has to grieve over that because there was no testimony that they ever found Christ. And you know, I believe a lot of them people maybe did pray, you know, right at the last. Maybe they saw they was leaving this world, and they called on God for salvation. And I believe God's a good God, you know, but you know, we don't always know sometimes if people make it or not. But I tell you tonight, while you still have a chance to call upon the Lord, it's high time to call. It's time, if you're not saved, it's time to surrender. You know, when the You know, one army overcomes another army. They'll take prisoners and they'll lift their hands and maybe they'll wave a white flag or something. And they'll surrender and they take them in. And if it's America that receives captives, you know, in a battle or something, they'll be good to them people. They'll not treat them bad because they've took them captive and because they've surrendered. Praise God. And we need to surrender all because that's part of being obedient to God. Praise God. I don't know if Joanna has another song or something to say.
Yeah, we've got another prayer request here. Paul Petrie, he said doctor told him that his heart has gotten worse and that he was on his last ride. So I don't know quite what that means, but it doesn't sound really good at all, bad report there. So we want to stand in prayer with an agreement with Paul Petrie that God will heal him and fix his heart. God is a great physician, and he can do this thing, and the doctors can be amazed how God has moved for him. So we want to go to prayer right now over all these prayer requests tonight. And continue to pray for Sister Harder, that the Lord will move in a situation concerning one of her children, and pray for her entire family. So that is coming up soon, what they're getting ready to go through, and God can move this thing. He'll move this mountain out of the way, and he'll move a mountain out of your way. And just be obedient to him and lay your treasures up in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added unto you. And that's clothing and shelter and food. God will add all these things that you need if you lay your treasures up in heaven. So let's go to prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see all these prayer requests. Lord, we ask that you move on each and every one, Lord, each name that we called out tonight, family members, Lord, and friends of all these folks that turn in prayer requests. Lord, you see every need, what they have need of. And Lord, you see people over in third world countries that need you, Lord, Christians that are trying to live the life and trying to be obedient to you, Lord, and how they have to live in secret and just to serve you, God. And Lord, we ask your shield of protection, Lord, put a hedge around about them, keep them safe, Lord. And Lord, save the Christians, this family that's not saved. Lord, let the Christians be a light, dear God, to their family members, to their neighbors, to their friends and people that they meet, the strangers on the street. Let us all, Lord, be a light to this world. And help us to shine, dear God. Help us to be a city set up on the hill, dear Lord, that cannot be hid. God, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we pray and we ask you, Lord, to touch Brother Eddie Bolton, Lord, and touch Brother John Samples, and touch his church, the members in his church, God. Touch Sister Samples, Lord, and their children. Touch Brother Eddie Bolton's children and his wife, God, his family, and loved ones and friends of both of them, Lord. And touch Brother Yearwood and Sister Betty Yearwood. God, we ask that you strengthen their body. Lord, we ask that you move mountains out of their way, dear God, and help them, encourage them, dear Lord. And Lord, touch Brother Timothy Dockery, and Lord, help him, and Lord, just open up doors for all of them, God, and help him, Lord, to preach your word and sing, God, the glory down and with the anointing, and open up doors for him, Lord. And we thank you, God, for doing this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Remember Brother Yearwood on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock p.m. He's goes for 2 hours till 8 p.m. Eastern time. So that's Brother Lord Yearwood. Remember that. And Reaching the World for Christ is blogtalkradio.com/reachingtheworldforchrist. So, and remember us again next Friday night. If you'd like to be with us, you're sure welcome to Macedonian Call. You'll be blogtalkradio.com/the Macedonian Call around the globe. Praise God, and we'll see you next time. Lord bless y'all. We'll go out with this here song by Brother Jeremiah Yoakum. Yeah.